Thank you. All right, church, let's sing what they're playing to start the service tonight. Turn over to page number 286, and everyone stand, and let's sing together the Glory Land Way. All right, let's sing together now. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land. On the last onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows. I'm in the glory land way. If you'll remain standing, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Larry, would you lead us as we pray? Church, you can be seated. Choir, you remain standing with me. And let's sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. Page 57 if you need it. Amazing Grace. Sing this with me. Praise God, 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 praise God. Again, it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. What a great service this morning. Amen. And, we're so thankful for the moving of the Holy Spirit today for each one that came to the altar. We pray that what they brought to the altar, they left at the altar. We just need to leave it with Him. He's the only one that can take care of it anyway. Amen. But it is great to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And we look forward to a time of worship and praise. Pray for pastors. He brings our message tonight. But let's go to the Lord, back to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask His blessings. Please pray for those that we listed this morning in our prayer request. And Miss Glenda had a special prayer request tonight in our choir practice, and the Long family. We want to continue to lift them in prayer. And again, some folks going through some very difficult times. Please continue to pray for Terry and the loss of her uncle this week. And so the funeral will be tomorrow. It's in he's in Royston, Georgia, which is quite a ways from here. So please remember the family in your prayers, and I know that they would greatly appreciate that. But let's go to him and ask his blessings on the service as well as on the offering. Brother David Henderson, would you lead us as we pray?
Spiritually withdrawn, life's winds and waves and rising tides have left you forlorn.
You say your ship can't stand another storm, and the final way seems near. Just anchor deep to the solid rock. Let the captain handle your fears.
Troubled on every side, but not crushed and broken, perplexed but not desperate, so all is not hopeless.
I know God has not forsaken, though cast down, we're not destroyed. For the captain stood the test of time, and he is still Lord.
To the solid rock of ages, I'll
hold my ground. When changing winds blow again and toss me around, I'll set my sails and attach my soul to a source that will never fail. So stand firm and weather the storm, for the cross will prevail.
Anchor to the power of the cross. Anchor to the power of the cross. Keep your eyes on the Master when gripping and storm tossed. Anchor to the power of the cross. Anchor to the power of the cross. Anchor to the power of the cross. Keep your eyes on the Master when gripping and storm tossed. Anchor to the power of the cross. Keep your eyes on the Master when gripping and storm tossed. Anchor to the power. Anchor to the power. Anchor to the power of the
Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone and you're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
You said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can help but worship you. So I will
lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If
if I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to
sunshine in the rain. I'm surrounded by your love, Lord. You're my healer through the pain.
You're my savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore.
So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low,
I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know.
Appreciate the song, ladies. It's always time to lift our praise, isn't it? That's what Paul and Silas did at midnight, not in the brightest hour, but in the darkest hour. They prayed and sang praises to the Lord. Someone said a good way of remembering that is Paul must have prayed because his name starts with a P, and Silas must have sang because his name starts with an S. But anyway, nonetheless, they prayed and sang praises to the Lord. And it's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord today. And we want to share some things with you out of the Old Testament. We were in the New Testament this morning, but the book of Nehemiah tonight. Nehemiah, if you would, chapter number 2. Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. And I want to read one verse just after we pray, and that is verse number 17. Nehemiah 2, and verse number 17, after we pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for everything. We adore you tonight. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you'd use me. Father, I want your people to be encouraged. Lord, I want us all to receive nourishment from your word tonight. And so, Lord, if that's accomplished, then being here this evening, Lord, would be a blessing. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Nehemiah chapter number 2, Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. Nehemiah 2:17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. It's actually two verses we began reading tonight, 17 and 18 of Nehemiah 2. Those who've studied the Bible and have heard much teaching and preaching know the certain scenario here. We know that Nehemiah, chapter number 1, he was in the palace, Shushan. And he was serving the Lord in that capacity. But then he received word that the walls of Jerusalem had been compromised, the gates were consumed and burning with fire. The walls had been broken down and the gates were burning. And so we know that Nehemiah sought the Lord and approached the king and got the green light. And he was able to proceed toward going and checking out the havoc that was wreaked upon these walls. And we know that it was a little while before he actually gave word and expressed exactly what God had put on his heart to do in building, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And so we see here in our two text verses tonight that Nehemiah, he relates to them. He relates to them. Look in verse 18 again. He says, then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nehemiah told his men the whole experience, even how that the king had gave him the green light, which Nehemiah, being the king's cupbearer, of course, he could have died by asking him this question. Could have died. And so by expressing how all of this came about, it actually excited these men. The Bible says that they strengthened their hands. So evidently, their hands were at a weak place, until Nehemiah began to express exactly what God was doing, and so they strengthened their hands for this good work. And so that's where we're at in the book of Nehemiah tonight. They are getting ready to rebuild the wall. But I want you to notice that this wall that surrounded Jerusalem had gates to it. Now, I'm just going to mention these gates, and then we're going to try to go through a few of them tonight. But in verse number 1, there's the sheep gate. Verse 3, there's the fish gate. Verse 6, the old gate. In verse 13, there's the valley gate. Verse 14, there's the dung gate. 15, the fountain gate. 26, the water gate. 28, the horse gate. 29, the east gate. And then 31 is the inspection gate, or the Mifkad gate. Now, again, when I think of these walls of Jerusalem, I tend to focus upon the wall only. But you know, this wall had gates in it. And these gates were used for certain purposes, as I mentioned just a moment ago, with the names, carries, the meaning of the gate, and what they were used for. But on the same token, these gates, they do carry spiritual meaning to them. And we got to be careful tonight what we try to apply spiritually from the pages of God's Word. It kind It can get away from you at times. You can overemphasize things. But I believe that these gates tonight do carry somewhat of spiritual meaning. We know that the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come, a shadow of the New Testament. And so these gates tonight, they bring a shadow, and they show us things that were actually fulfilled in the New Testament or comparable to the New Testament. And so tonight, there's some things that we can glean from the gates of Jerusalem that I believe will be a help to our spiritual walk. So tonight, the title of the message is The Gates of Jerusalem. Before we mention the first three gates tonight, I want to bring to light and mention that there were some things that took place before they actually started to build. There were some first observations that I want to make mention of. We're here in chapter number 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, we see that the actions the helpers took. There was actually some action that the helpers took in building these gates. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So here we see the action the helpers took. And first of all, I want to say that they were willing to work. They were willing to work. The Bible says again that they said, let us rise up and build. But you know, at this particular point, that's all that was done toward the rebuilding of these walls, of the wall and these gates. In this verse alone, that's something that they said they were going to do. Let us rise up and build. Tonight, it's a very awesome thing, and it's a helpful thing in ministry when others say they want to help build, isn't it? I mean, it's an exciting thing. It's liberating when others, they come, they say, I want to help build the ministry, help build the church. But you know, there comes a second part to someone saying that, and that is actually doing it. Some say they want to help. Some say they want to build. And here we see in this latter part of this verse that they said, let us rise up and build. No doubt their hands were weakened, and so they strengthened themselves. They were excited over the news of Nehemiah, and so they started to stir themselves. And it's easy tonight to say that we'll do something. Of course, it's very easy to say I'll help do this or that when there's no cost involved. But then comes the actual helping part. Now, the action the helpers took, they said they would help, and they actually helped. Notice, if you would, in chapter 3, in verse 1, we actually have the commencement of the work. It actually began. The Bible says, then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. And so this work, not only they said, hey, listen, we want to help. It's amazing that God allowed you, Nehemiah, to get passed through the king. He said, yes, came and viewed the walls, and now we're ready to help. That's amazing. Let us rise up and build, rebuild this wall and these gates. They said they were going to do it, and they actually did it. They actually did it. Not only did they say they would help, but they helped. Thank God tonight for Christian helpers. Thank the Lord for those that not only say they're going to do something, but actually do it. So they were strengthening their hands, and then ground broke. And Elisha, the high priest, he commenced the beginning of the rebuilding of the wall and gates. Now we see the action the helpers took. But then I want you to notice the example of the priest. In chapter number 3, in verse number 1, I think it's interesting that the priest started this work. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. What better person? What better order it is for the leaders to be the example, for the leaders to start a work, for the leaders to be that example, and ministers and teachers to not just say what to do or show the need of a certain work, but actually be the ones breaking ground and commencing the work. Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priest, and they began to build. And so not only the action was that they said they wanted to build, and they began building, but the actual examples in starting this job on these gates was Eliashib the priest and the other priest. We are those who are in position of leadership. And I'll even say those who sing in the choir, those who have any kind of role in a church, you are an example to the other brethren and sistern. We see that here. We see that this work actually began by the priest. They started to rebuild these gates. Now, there's a third thing in these early observations before we get to some of these gates. Not only the example of the priest, but we see the activity at the gates. Each of these gates had a purpose. Again, the fish gate, or the sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, and all the rest of the gates. Each one had a specific purpose. Each gate had its persons. Notice verse number 2. Here in chapter 3. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachor, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build. Stop there. And so there were specific people for specific gates. Each gate had a purpose, but also each gate had a person. And these persons, they were responsible for their gate. They were to repair their specified gate. They were to assist and be present at their gate. These gates were eventually guarded by these men. And so we see that the gates actually had persons guarding the gates, working at the gates. What gate does God want you at here at Calvary? What position does God want you? What area of servitude does God want you to serve in? Guarding the gates, being present at these gates, building these gates, repairing these gates. Everybody has a gate. It's just a matter of finding out what gate's the best gate for you. But more importantly, what the Lord, which gate He wants you at. Now, look in verse number 20 for a moment of chapter 3. I want to make mention of a standout worker at a gate. Chapter 3 and verse number 20. After him, Barak, the son of Zabbai, looky here, look at this verse here, looky, earnestly repaired the other piece. From the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Elijah, the high priest. So this individual not only repaired his gate, but he earnestly repaired his gate. I went back and looked at that word earnestly, because I wanted to be sure what it meant. At face value, I think I know what it means. And it pretty much carries the same idea, but it means to blaze or get hot. And so evidently, this particular person, he had a moment of anger in rebuilding the gates. So he did his job, but then he was doing another job. It says, earnestly repaired the other piece. So it was actually a time when this individual, He was working here, but he was working there. And it was a moment where he got he blazed and he got hot. Now he earnestly repaired the other piece, meaning he was passionate and he was earnest about it. But nonetheless, he took on a whole lot of work. And I say he was a standout worker because he took on what he was doing and something else was added. And we got to be careful about adding too much to our plate, but yet it's a great thing to have many working in the ministry of the Lord and accomplishing much of the Lord. And he was just this earnest repairer of a gate. So we see that there's persons at each gate. There's a purpose of each gate. And so tonight, what about these gates? What's the spiritual parallels of these gates? How does it apply to our life? Well, let's look at the first three tonight, and then we'll go from there next week. In chapter number 3, notice verse number 1, there's the sheep gate. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. The first gate that was repaired was the sheep gate. Now, if you study your Bible, if you've, again, heard teaching and preaching through the years, you know that this particular gate was intended for sheep. It's the sheep gate. And the sheep were brought through this gate that were to be sacrificed in the temple. This gate had its own place for sheep. And so they would bring the sheep through this gate. And then they would sacrifice in the temple. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. They sanctified this gate. Meaning they ceremonially consecrated it with prayer as they began the work. They were getting started working. And Elijah the priest and the other priest began this work, but first they consecrated it. They sanctified it. They had prayer before they began this work. And then they started the work. May I say tonight that it's a very good idea not only to pray for direction and what gate that God may have us at, to serve at, but not only that, but pray every time we begin a new work. Pray every time you stand at that gate to guard the gate, to repair, to help at that gate. They sanctified it. They had prayer. They ceremonially consecrated it before they began. Now, what can we glean from this sheep gate? Well, again, in the Old Testament, it shadows the New Testament and gives us a glimpse of things to come. And we know that ultimately Jesus was the lamb that was sacrificed for us. Many, many sheep were brought through that gate to be sacrificed. But it was all pointing to the one and only perfect and spotless lamb that would ever go through out of the gates of Jerusalem to be sacrificed. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, this gate can speak of our new life in Christ. When a person gets saved, they get born again and become a family member in God's household, but also they're a sheep. They're a sheep now. They enter into this gate for salvation. Matthew 7:13 talks about entering ye in at the straight gate. This is the sheep gate, Old Testament, New Testament. We're the sheep. And we got to enter in only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the spiritual application can be that of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. It can also be the new life we have in Christ. Are you a sheep tonight? You belong to Him? That's the question we always have to ask. And so, I want you to notice something else with this sheep gate. That chapter number 3, it starts with the sheep gate. But then, chapter number 3, verse 32, it ends with the sheep gate. This chapter starts with the sheep gate. It ends with the sheep gate. Can I say that all things start with Christ? They end with Christ. He is the first. He's the last. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And He is the ultimate lamb that was led to the slaughter. And He's the one that we start with. He's the one that we finish with. It's this amazing thing when we look into God's Word and you see things such as this. So the chapter begins with the sheep gate and it ends with the sheep gate. There's another gate I want to mention. Not only the sheep gate, but the fish gate. Now, I want you to notice something before we read in verse 3. As we study these gates, there's a progression here. There's the sheep gate, which starts picture of salvation. But now there's the fish gate, and I know what you're already thinking. Look in verse number 3 of chapter 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasani build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. The fish gate. Of course, the main reason for this gate had to do with the fishermen of Galilee. And they would bring in their fish from their nights of fishing, days of fishing. They would bring their fish in, their catch in through this gate. And those fish would be sold, and that's how they made their living. You see. And so you could think about those disciples in the New Testament. Many times they'd fish all night and catch nothing. Not only they had to clean their nets and wash their nets and mend their nets, but then they had to go home with no fish, nothing to bring to the market, nothing to eat at the house. But nonetheless, that's what this gate was for. It was the fish gate. What can we glean from this? How does this parallel with our life? Well, after we become a sheep, we go through the sheep gate, where that's the gate of salvation. And then the natural tendency, one of the main desires of a new believer, is to go fishing. It's to be fishers of men. In Matthew 4:19, I'll just give it to you. It tells us that we're all called to be fishers of men. This is the natural progression. As a Christian, you embrace Jesus at salvation, and then you're saved, and then He births in your heart this awesome desire to tell others about Jesus, to go from fishing of fish to fishing of men. That's what the Lord does. And so we see that there is a parallel here. This fish gate was used to bring in fish. Somebody said one time that we, the believers, we are beggars that are to tell other beggars where we found bread. That's what we're to do. We get saved and we become the Lord's sheep, and then we begin to go fishing for men, and all we are beggars. That's telling other beggars where we found bread. Someone also said, and really, I think that it holds weight. It just seems like, to me, it just seems like a person is more evangelistic with their faith when they first get saved than when they've been saved for a number of years. That's not fully true, but it just seems that way. It just seems like when someone is newly saved, I know when I first got saved, I was at the Quick Trip across from Floyd Road, and I waited on the Jehovah's Witnesses. I did. I waited on them. And I could pick out a Jehovah's Witness 100 yards away. They backed their cars in. And they all almost wear the same colors. It's crazy, I'm telling you. But I got saved, and I remember I was getting a cup of coffee one day. True story. And one of them came in. I waited till he went in so I could go in so I could meet him at the coffee pot. And he was making his coffee. So, how you doing? I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to witness to me from the Jehovah Witness standpoint. You know, hopefully chosen, good works. I said, man, I'm doing great. I said, I recently gotten saved, and, you know, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which they do not believe in God the Holy Ghost. I said, Holy Spirit, God Himself came into me and changed my life. He goes, oh, okay. I was working out at the gym, believe it or not. And working out at the gym, one of my main workout partners that I knew before I got saved was a Jehovah Witness. And so I got saved. And so we continued to work out together. And I just kept telling him, man, I don't know what to tell you. Because he asked me, he said, you keep talking about what happened to you, how your life changed. I said, all I can tell you is I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I repented of my sin and turned to Him. And it actually happened. My salvation happened right there in the gym. And so he said, I'll tell you what. Working out, wrapping up his arms, getting ready to work out. He said, I'll tell you what. This is the glory of God. He said, I've never heard a Christian, or I think he said Baptist, speak about the Lord so passionately as you. I said, well, praise the Lord. I don't know whatever happened to him, but what I'm saying is, and it goes back to the main point, that it seems like newly converts speak more of Christ than anybody else. Lord, help us not allow some of these new ones that just got saved to let that new wear off. Let's disciple them. And I'm looking in this coming up week at Grace Christian School, where Lily goes as well. I'm looking for the new converts because I want to tell them, from me to them, congratulations. That's amazing you got saved. Tell people about Jesus and keep telling them. Don't ever let the fire go out. Because it's hard to rekindle them flames of going soul winning. But the fish gate, they were to bring their catch through. And this gives a picture of us after we get saved to spread the gospel. Let me mention another gate. And that's in verse number 6. The old gate. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their next. I'm sorry, I'm reading from the wrong verse. We'll finish it and read the next one as well. Not their next to the work of their Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pasa, and Meshulam, the son of Bezodiah. Takes a little practice on these names. What's the old gate, Brother Justin? If you look on a map of the walls of Jerusalem, from the fish gate, there's the old gate. Then there's a long stretch, and there's the valley gate. This old gate is mentioned only in Nehemiah's book. Nehemiah's book only mentions this gate called the Old Gate. This gate may have been one of the originals, one of the first made gates before they were burned. But what can we glean from an old gate? I mean, the Bible says in verse 6 there was an old gate. What can we glean from it? After we experienced the sheep gate, then there's the fish gate. But then there's the need of experiencing the old gate. That's when we sit at Jesus' feet and we learn those old, unchangeable words of God. The ancient word of God. The old gate. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16 says this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And sadly enough, the rest of that verse is almost never quoted that says, but they said, we will not walk therein. So what is he talking about, these old ways as Jeremiah? What is this old gate? It can be symbolic to the old scriptures of God, the unchangeable words of God, sitting at this gate, going through this gate, and taking the time to learn about the person of God. Learn, and the Lord takes some time with us, and we learn about the ways of God. We get grounded on the principles of God and the promises of God. At least in my estimation, that's what I get from this old gate, which follows the fish gate, which follows the sheep gate. There's certainly a progression with these gates, and I believe there's shadows of these gates as well. I want to mention one more tonight. So in verse 6, there's the old gate, but then notice in verse number 13, there's the valley gate. Verse 13, the valley gate. Repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. There's the valley gate. And this valley gate was called the valley gate. Well, first of all, there were many valleys surrounding Jerusalem, but right outside this, if you're in the walls of Jerusalem, this is the gate. You go outside, it would lead right to, there's a valley right there. If you continued on, the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom. This is called the Valley Gate because of all the valleys, but one in particular, the Valley of Hinnom. You know what the Valley of Hinnom was used for, don't you? It was used to put all the trash from inside the city, which leads me to the next gate, but we won't talk about that one yet, but that's the Dung Gate. But the Valley Gate led to the Valley of Hinnom. All the trash, even poor, the poor who had no burial would, I heard from one commentator, would they would place their dead in that valley or the Valley of Hinnom, and there was a continual fire burning there that would consume the trash but also consume the flesh of the dead. Which gives other shadows, doesn't it? Of a place called hell, which no one has to go to. And so this valley gate, if you look on the map, this is what I was trying to get at a moment ago. If you look on a map, this is the left side of the wall of Jerusalem. Right here would be the old gate. And then you'll notice, well, there's the sheep gate, but then immediately fish gate, immediately old gate, but then there's the valley gate, which led to the Valley of Hinnom. What can we glean out of it? What does that matter that old gate, fish gate, sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, valley gate? What does that matter? What does that have to do with our life? One commentator said this. It's of the Lord's plans that we first get saved by entering in the sheep gate, and then we become fishers of men. And God takes a while in the old gate to teach us His promises, to show us His power, because there's going to come a time when you're going to have to go through that valley gate. You see, from the old gate to the valley gate was a long process of wall, a long length of wall, which meaning that when a person gets saved, the Lord will take them and nourish them and teach them the words of God, of course, through the church. And we learn about these things a long period of time, but then one day something happens in your life and you realize you're on planet Earth. So to speak, the honeymoon is over. And you realize that your flesh didn't get saved. And there's an old nature to contend with. And there's trials in this world. There's people that get cancer and people that die. And you still go to the cemetery. And so the purpose of this gate would be shadowing that God, He gets us anchored in the cross. And then storms come. Trials come. But if we anchor ourselves properly and diligently in the Word of God, when those times come, these valley experiences come, as long as we're anchored in the power of the cross, in the promises of His Word, then we're able to withstand the storm. The Valley Gate. Old Gate, Valley Gate. Look at the map. It's really interesting. Really interesting. So this spiritual application, God saves us. Sheep Gate, and then we share Jesus. Fish Gate, next we grow in the Lord in the Old Gate. Then comes the Valley Gate. Times of testing and trial. And of course, after the Valley Gate comes the Dung Gate. And we won't get fully into that tonight. We're going to bring it to a close right here. But let me just say this about the Dung Gate. That's where all of the trash and everything comes out of the city, and it's piled in the Valley of Hinnom. In a spiritual parallel with this Dung Gate is that the valley just has a pruning effect on us. Being in the valley for a while, when God stretches our faith, it has an enriching effect on our faith. Ain't that what Peter said? Come out being tried by fire. In another place, in Peter's epistle, he says, don't think it strange concerning some strange thing happen unto you. And so God uses this valley experience, these tough times to get rid of the dung in our life. As they come tonight, that's just four gates. Four gates. Again, the Valley Gate, and then the Old Gate, Fish Gate, Sheep Gate. Barely, I brushed upon the Dung Gate. Of course, there's still the Fountain Gate, the Water Gate, the Horse Gate, the East Gate, and the Inspection Gate. Tonight, I pray if anyone needs help from the Lord, if something spoke to you tonight, that you'll do business with Him. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things that you do. So many different typologies, Lord, in your word. Shadows. Lord, but I pray tonight if someone was spoken to from you, I pray that they would do business with you. Lord, if nothing else, we're just feeling grateful tonight for your people and the energy in the church today and what you've accomplished this morning. And even our time tonight in your word, Lord, however long or short it was, just being around God's people and your word is exactly what we need. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We always give a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come. If you really feel you need to come, you come.
just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Continuing to sing while we have these here, if you need to come, you come. It's a beautiful thing seeing these altars getting filled.
Power, all power, sure is thine. Touch me and heal me, save your.
Well, we appreciate you responding tonight, as we had some this morning. And again, it's just a beautiful thing to see folks, a lot of our young folks responding in the services. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing. And it's been a good day today. And we just remember Wednesday night, midweek service. We will continue on until the Lord comes. And Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And got a class for all ages. Meet us here. We'll be here. And I feel like there's something I'm forgetting to mention. Just remember these on our prayer list, of course. And remember Miss Mary Kelly's surgery on the 18th. And Miss Jackie Henderson is in the hospital. All right. And you Sunday, next Sunday. Anything to mention before we close? Going once, going twice. Jim Carmichael. Let's remember him. All right. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everyone have a wonderful, wonderful coming up week. I want to ask Brother Robert if you close us out in prayer, brother.